It is the 10th day of October, and on the phone line with us here for the closing market report is Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Well, tell me just a bit about what's been happening in the marketplace and how you see that playing out over the next 24 hours or so.
Well, since we don't really have any newswire stuff to talk about with USA shut down, the trade is pretty much focused itself on harvest progress, yield reports coming out of the field, and at least up to this point, yield reports have just been fantastic. I mean, we're the trade's kind of guessing the harvest somewhere between 25 and 30% down on corn. Maybe soybean harvest is somewhere around 45 to 50%. Soya farmers have been kind of going after soybeans this past week. And that's what's starting to weigh on the market as we're getting far enough down the road here. And if the first 25% of this corn harvest, if the yield reports from what I've heard on this first 25%, if that continues, the trade's going to be looking at the national average of probably topping 160 bushels per acre, and that's just going to be devastating to the supply-demand table as we go down the road. Fortunately, we're going to probably miss the October crop report. It kind of looks like if there's any kind of compromise in Washington, it's going to be over the debt ceiling for extend that for maybe 6 weeks, but the government is going to stay shut down. So the soonest report that we're probably going to get is we're going to get a November report, and that's going to be roughly a month away or so. So we're not going to have an October report to knock prices down. It's all going to be pretty well driven by the marketplace. So beans, same way. Yields are very strong, but they're probably not as quite as strong as probably the corn yield. I think traders are kind of thinking maybe a national average yield of somewhere around 42 or 43 might catch the soybeans. But we still have, you know, a lot of harvest to go in the west and in the north, and that's where the poorest crop is supposed to be. If we're going to get into it. But the trade's been pretty well focused on yield reports and harvest progress because there's really nothing else to talk about.
You mentioned that the West and the North are the places that we need to know about. Are there early indications of what the corn crop is coming out like there?
From what I've heard out in Iowa, things are coming in awfully strong. It does seem like that August heat that we had really didn't do much damage, at least in a big scale. I'm sure some of the very latest planted corn and some of the very latest planted soybeans probably got hurt, but anything that was kind of planted in the middle part of May or the last week of May seem to have survived it pretty well. I think once you get into the June plant and stuff, well, then that's probably the stuff that kind of got hurt. And those are quite a few acres out there. What I haven't heard anything from those, but what I've heard coming out of Iowa, the yields are still very, very strong.
And the other thing that's in play in Iowa, parts of Minnesota, are the prevent plant acres. Eventually, the FSA numbers will be put into the market at some point by USDA. Will they help much?
Well, they'll help us to a certain extent. And I'm kind of one in the camp that think the acres are going to be much lower than what the average trade guess is looking at for right now. When you're starting to hear these kind of yields coming in, it's pretty quickly, easily to offset a million acres here or a million acres there. I mean, just the September 1 stocks report on corn, you know, added a million acres of corn or, you know, a bushel and a half on a national average basis with USDA finding 163 million bushels of corn on that report. So we already started the month off with more corn than what we thought we had before the first of the month. So I guess I'm getting a little concerned with the supply that's coming in. So far, farmer selling has been generally limited. I'm not sure that's the best place to be at. I think farmers might be better off selling the early stuff, and if they've got storage, maybe store the later planted stuff, because I think if this crop continues to grow in size, we're going to see much lower prices toward the end of harvest than what we're seeing right now.
Any hope that the export market might pick up?
Well, there is interest in the export market. I do think there's some concern with the Ukraine wheat crop. It may be coming in on the short side. The default weather pattern, at least what we see in Argentina, seems to be more apt to be on the dry side than on the wet side. So there are some things out there brewing. But if we get ourselves in a situation where we're looking at a 2 billion bushel carryout in corn for the coming year, it's going to be pretty hard to crawl out of that hole, because even next year with the reduced corn acres and average yield, we're probably going to produce more. There's talk here this morning that EPA is going to maybe peel back the ethanol bushels and 800 million gallons or something like that, and I think that would take 250 million bushels out of the ethanol equation if that happens. So it looks to me like we're headed for some pretty large ending stocks levels, and when you're in that situation, it's very hard to stir up a rally, because at some point in time we will find a sideways market and it'll just start trading sideways, and it's going to be a long winter.
It'll be a long winter. We've got December 14 to about 42 cents premium to the December 13. Does that need to be protected?
For those that have the experience of using hedges and working with an elevator that does hedge to arrive, I wouldn't be opposed to putting some of that on for the next 3 to 4 months, and then have then take another look at it in the middle part of February, and by then we'll have an idea of what South America is. We'll maybe have a little better idea what the rest of the world is producing. But you can kind of look at the corn-soybean ratio for 14 only, and you can see soybeans are gaining on corn. So corn is in trouble, and it's really taken a nosedive over the past couple of weeks. And I think that is a direct reflection that the yields just are not letting up, at least at this point.
Why is it that wheat broke today?
Well, wheat probably because of corn. Now, wheat is in a much different chart pattern. I mean, wheat is more at the top end of the price range of the past month, month and a half. And I think wheat is more in a consolidation phase than anything. Now, we did get some cancellations that Egypt wasn't going to tender for their wheat. I think there is maybe another cancellation or so, but I suppose fundamentally that's what you would want to argue, that maybe the announcement that Egypt wasn't going to tender for any wheat. Then I think it gets into politics about whether or not we're going to give Egypt any financial aid in that country. So Egypt, you know, might not be as a big a buyer on wheat as what we once thought they were going to be. But I think wheat basically just fail with corn and soybeans on spillover weakness in those other two markets.
Hey, thanks so much.
Okay.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises, joins us here on the Closing Market Report.